Brackets, buckets, and bets. Welcome in. We are live from the Barn Hockey Bar, 1659 West Ogden. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Charlie Remeliotis, who will have the Blackhawks pregame starting at 7. Intermission reports, and then postgame, the Hawks taking on the Kings tonight at the United Center. If you haven't been to the Barn, it is an awesome spot all of the time, but especially if you're headed to the United Center, short walk from the UC to the Barn Hockey Bar. So we are following along all of the games as the tournament is underway, and we'll talk a little hockey. We'll talk some Bears, of course. Herb Howard from the Bigs is going to join us. We'll talk to Mike Palm from Circus Sports as well. The entire sports show broadcast live from the Barn Hockey Bar, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, and the Circus Sports Illinois folks are here as well. They got awesome swag, Charlie. I want some of that official Blackhawks swag from the Circa folks.
Yes, and I will say, Kevin, I do miss the cabana in Vegas right about now. I wiped about 3 inches of snow off my car this morning. And last Friday, I think it was 72 degrees. I was outside in shorts and a t-shirt. It's good to be inside here at the Barn Hockey Bar, but I am missing our cabana that we had a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Charlie, yes, you can, sir. You certainly can have it. We are live on the air, sir. Enjoy that bottle opener. Last time Charlie and I were doing a broadcast together, we were actually at Circa in Las Vegas. So we are here until 5 o'clock. Feel free to stop by. We're going to be having a lot of fun. The Circa Sports Illinois people are here as well. So we'll be covering the tournament. We'll be talking some Bears. Steve Greenberg from the Chicago Sun-Times is going to join me later on in the 6 o'clock hour as well.
Is your bracket busted yet?
No, it is perfect.
All right.
Absolutely perfect. I haven't checked. It's definitely not perfect.
Wow.
The food here is fantastic. I walked in, and Charlie's in his suit. He's mowing down buffalo wings.
No, that's incorrect. I walked in, and you were mowing down the buffalo wings.
Is that how it went down?
That's how it went down.
The wings?
I did dart for the pepperoni pizza, though.
The wings here are fantastic. This is a great spot for watching sports, whether it's hockey or basketball, whatever. Football, ton of TVs, tons of cool stuff. There's a Zamboni here. I think you'll be able to find a picture of Charlie on the Zamboni at WGNradio.com at some point. But we love it here, Charlie. They're always great to us at the Barn.
I better get royalties for those pictures.
Are you into the March Madness? Do you fill out a bracket? Every time we do this show, Charlie is the most locked-in on hockey guy you'll ever meet.
I'll say this. I have watched less and less college basketball over the years, to the point where this year, I did not watch a single dribble of college basketball.
Okay.
Outside of maybe it was a channel in passing that it was on by mistake. And
not
so,
even Elmhurst College basketball?
Elmhurst University, that's different. I have a couple buddies on the team, actually.
Do you really? Charlie is the mayor of Elmhurst. He grew up in Elmhurst. He went to school in Elmhurst. He lives in Elmhurst still.
There are two Greeks on the team. Literally from Greece.
Yeah.
So I've met them a couple of years. But I filled out my bracket basically without having any knowledge of college basketball this year, which means I'm going to win the pool.
Yes, and to recap some of the games so far, Creighton-Louisville, first game, Creighton beat Louisville 89-75. That game really was never close, so that's a 9 over an 8. McNeese State over Clemson, that's a big one. That's a 12 over 5, 69-67. McNeese was leading big most of that game. Clemson made a push late, but a 12 seed knocking off a 5 seed. Purdue hanging on to beat High Point. Wisconsin over Montana, 85-66. Auburn beat Alabama State, 83-63. I know that's a 20-point differential, but that game was actually pretty entertaining in the first half. Alabama State was hanging in there, but Auburn pulled away. Houston, big 38 win over SIU Edwardsville, so an Illinois school going down. But so far, some good games. It's been entertaining as well. But I think when we look at the sports calendar, Charlie, this weekend, next weekend, it's a highlight for so many people. When I got here early today, and there were a lot of people just posted up watching college hoops.
Yeah, this weekend, next weekend, then the weekend after that. Is that Masters weekend, I think?
Or Masters is it the week after that? Yes, Masters 3 weeks away.
Yeah, so we're in the prime of, and baseball opening day.
We had Cubs in Tokyo earlier. This is a lot of stuff.
NBA Stanley Cup playoffs around the corner, so we're hitting the prime of the NHL, or the sports schedule.
We'll get into some Hawks stuff too, Charles. How many games remaining on the slate?
13 after tonight.
Blackhawks hosting the Kings. Charlie will have the pregame. We're live at the Barn Hockey Bar. up until 7. It's all sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Welcome back into our special sports show broadcast live from the Barn Hockey Bar. It's all sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Charlie Remeliotis. Charlie will have the Blackhawks pregame starting at 7. The Hawks taking on the Kings. We are following along all of the basketball action. The Barn Hockey Bar, awesome spot to hang on a day like this when, you know, maybe a handful of people calling out sick, Charlie, on a day like this, maybe not showing up for work. I was here earlier, and a lot of fans were posted up catching all of the action. It's a great time on the sports calendar. Andy Mazur's back at our downtown Chicago studios. Andy, you're following all this closely. Any early observations from the first round of games in the tournament?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been a lot of chalk until the last game that we saw with McNeese knocking off Clemson, 69-67. And, of course, I didn't pick that upset. I picked other upsets that did not come through so far.
You know, McNeese State, I heard you guys talking about it a little bit earlier. That's a 12 over 5, so that's a big upset. But there was a lot of buzz around McNeese State going into this game.
There was, and there was not a lot of buzz around Clemson. You know, it's kind of hard to kind of differentiate because you've got these pundits, especially on CBS, that are predicting upsets, and you think that they know what they're talking about, which is unfortunate because a lot of times you get lulled into that sense of, okay, well, this guy's been following it a lot closer than I have. But at the same time, you know, when you looked at McNeese, they did match up well against Clemson and pulled the 2-point upset. They almost blew it at the end. They led by as many as 24 and almost let a 9-point lead go away with about a minute to go.
And McNeese's student manager, first student manager in the country to earn an NIL deal. Did you see this story, Andy?
I saw the guy had his own T-shirt. Is that right?
Well, Amir Khan, he's the student manager for McNeese State, and he became sort of a social media star because he has this big boombox that he carries around. He kind of hypes the team up, and he became a somewhat of an internet viral sensation, and he landed an NIL deal, multiple NIL deals. I think it's a Buffalo Wild Wings, some cookie company. First ever, this is what March Madness does, Andy. Student managers land NIL deals.
And I think there's another group that I saw something about it last night. I can't remember if it was Kentucky or one of the groups that they have a rap song, and they went viral.
Yes.
So yeah, you're right. I mean, this whole NIL deal is permeating the support staff.
Yes, and also one other story I found from March Madness was Richie Saunders. He's a BYU player. His great-grandfather was one of the founders of a Tater Tot Company. They basically invented Tater Tots.
How can you not root for him then?
Exactly. Richie Saunders, BYU. His great-grandfather was one of the pioneers of Tater Tots in the early days of the Tots, Andy.
Gotta love that.
I love that story.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. All right, Andy, did you have you filled out a bracket, your final four picks? Who you have?
You know, I filled out so many darn brackets, I can't remember who I have in each of these things. But and the one that we're talking about with the WGN radio listeners, I've got, let's see, who do I have here? I've got Duke, Houston, and Florida, and Michigan State.
Okay. I like it. One other, a 12-5 matchup to keep an eye on, UC San Diego. 30 wins this season. They're a 12 seed, Michigan a 5, but Michigan only favored by 2.5 in that game, Andy. So I know we already saw one 5 seed go down, but Vegas thinks this is going to be a very close one. And I will say, too, I know that if you don't follow along college basketball closely, and even if you kind of do, teams get a seed, and it just puts a label on them, right? Like, oh, you're a 12 seed, or you're an 11. I mean, even earlier, Creighton and Louisville, I couldn't believe Creighton was a 9. I couldn't believe Louisville was an 8. Louisville was 27-8 this year. Creighton, every time I watched them, they were impressive to me. So that was an 8-9. 8-9, you think middle-of-the-road team, but that's not the case. Those are two really good teams. So we've seen Cinderellas before, and the seeds kind of, they put that label on teams. And you know, it's always fun to see the upsets. But sometimes it's just, you know, the way the tournament sorts itself out, that you're going to get seeded what you're going to get seeded. But not always does it exactly match up with the quality of your team, in my opinion.
Especially the way teams are playing. And you know, you get UC San Diego that's not in a power conference.
Right.
So their 30 wins are going to be looked at a lot differently than the 30 wins at Duke, obviously, because they haven't played the same competition. But the thing that you have to understand about some of these lower conferences is that they have teams that are together for 4 years. And these are teams that have a lot of continuity. I mean, they know who there's going to be out there. They know the guys that they can count on. They've been around each other for 4, sometimes 5 years. You know, whereas at Duke or at a Michigan, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, transfer portal.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing you can't ignore some of these teams, even though they may not be in a conference that you watch regularly.
Yeah, and with the new transfer rules and the COVID year, you have a lot of older, relatively speaking, to college basketball. And by the way, we're at the Barn Hockey Bar. It's all sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Charlie Romeliotis talking with Andy Mazur back at our downtown Chicago WGN radio studios. But I'm watching that Creighton game. The point guard's 24 years old. He's got his son in the stands with his wife. They've got a fifth-year senior, 7-foot senior. So, look, there's so many different storylines we pick up, and I think very few can actually say they could tell you a lot about all of the teams.
Yeah.
I think very few can. I try to watch as much as I can throughout the season. And I said going into the tournament, I watched a lot of St. John's for whatever reason. The Big East is on quite a bit. And I watched a good amount of Duke because Duke's always on. And I think the two teams that I watched personally, I'm not saying they are the best, but Duke and St. John's were the most impressive teams for me. So when I do fill out my bracket or I do make my picks, I'm typically a little biased as towards the teams I watch because they're the teams I know.
Yeah.
So everybody has a little bit of a different strategy. So it's a ton of fun, though, because it's so long. So even if you didn't watch a lot of college basketball, it's easy to get into it this weekend. And then you pick up on storylines, like a player who has a grandpa who invented tater tots.
Well, here, I'll tell you some of the teams I was able to follow this year, and a lot of them were in the Missouri Valley. I did a few games there.
Yeah.
And one of the teams I did a game for was Drake. They're an 11 seed as a 30-win team. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting team, too, because Ben McCollum, who's their head coach, came from Northwest Missouri State Division II team. He won 4 national titles there and took 4 of his own players to Drake with him. So it's an older starting lineup. It's a lineup that doesn't seem like it gets phased very much because they've won so many games together as a group. So, you know, Drake is one of those teams to kind of keep an eye on as well, I would think.
If you go to the Circus Sports Illinois app, Andy, as I did today, you can get Drake +5.
I'd take that.
Mizzou, and I took that today.
I would definitely take that, yeah.
One of my plays of the day, Missouri, a good team, where they kind of limped to the finish line. They lost 4 or 5, I think 5 of 7. So that's one to keep an eye on as well. That's Andy Mazur. He is back at the WGN Radio Studios. Andy, thanks a bunch, man. We can check in throughout as the tournament continues. We are broadcasting live from the Barn Hockey Bar. It's all sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Charlie?
Just a heads up. I may or may not have missed a class when I was in college on the Thursday of March Madness.
Yes.
Just because I wanted to watch.
Did you go to a bar? Did you just watch at home?
No, I just watched at home.
And it's great now. I mean, I think people with streaming, the multiple TV setups, iPads, laptops. The March Madness app has always been great, but if you pull up your laptop or an iPad or even on your phone, I was taking the train in today, pull it up. You got the quad box. You can watch multiple games at the same time.
We're spoiled in today's day and age where you can have like 4 TV setups and especially on NFL Sunday.
I know.
That's what's prepped us for moments like this.
And they have dozens and dozens of TVs here at the Barn Hockey Bar where we are right around the corner from the United Center. 1659 Blackhawks hockey tonight on WGN. So whether you want to watch games, whether you're going to the Blackhawks game, this is a great spot to stop by, have some great food, maybe a pop or two, and then head over to the UC. Welcome back into our special sports show broadcast live from the Barn Hockey Bar, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Charlie Romeliotis, 1659 Ogden. If you want to come stop by, it is a great spot to watch all of the college basketball, great spot to hang before an event at the United Center. And joining us now on WGN, Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations for Circa. And Mike, thanks for jumping on. Last time we were talking to you, it was live at Circa in Las Vegas, poolside. But what a great weekend of sports we have. I'm sure it's just insane at Circa in Vegas right now, Mike.
Yeah, we've got over 700 people in our Galaxy Ballroom on the third floor. Every single seat in the sportsbook was sold out today. And well over 2,000 people at Stadium Swim, where we talked last time. I'm down here at the D, where we're hosting a party in the Detroit Ballroom on the 12th floor, and we're north of 400 folks as well.
Mike, I wiped snow off my car this morning here in Chicago, so we are very much missing the cabana at Stadium right now.
Oh, it's perfect. It's a little cooler when you were here, but it's almost perfect. Because folks are consuming a bit of alcohol, maybe now and then, that keeps you warm as well.
This is Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations for the D, Golden Gate, and Circa. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the tournament so far. We did have a 12-over-5 McNeese State, although I feel like there was already kind of a lot of buzz about McNeese State going into that game. But where is the money going? Where has it gone so far? Where are some of the biggest bets going in the first round of the tournament?
Yeah, McNeese State was a little bit of a chic pick. We had some money line action on them over Clemson. The first game of the day was great for the house because the money was on Louisville, almost a home game there at Rupp Arena, 40 miles from campus. But Creighton got the job done. Looking at the night slate of games, we just keep taking Kansas money over Arkansas. You know, we opened that game at 2 on Sunday. We're up to 5. Probably going to get to 5.5 before they tip off in about a half hour. And surprisingly, even though we're a big Michigan house because of Derek's connections, we've been seeing a lot of money on UC San Diego.
That's another one. I know we already have the 1 12-over-5, but UC San Diego generating a lot of buzz going into the tournament, Mike.
Yeah, they are. And then, of course, the 5-12 is Colorado State, who's favored as the 12-over Memphis. We opened at 1. It got up to 2.5. It's back down to 1.5. So balanced action there. But, I mean, if the money holds true on those two games, maybe three out of the 4-12s advance.
I'm a Missouri Valley guy, went to Illinois State. Drake won the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. One of my plays of the day on Circa Sports, Mike, is Drake plus, I think I got him at plus 5. I'm not sure what it's at right now, but Drake, an 11 seed, won 30 games this year, 30-3, taking on 6 seed Missouri. I played Drake getting the points. Any action you're seeing on that one? Is that one generating a lot of buzz so far?
It's been pretty balanced back and forth between 5.5 and 6. Not a lot of movement. I can't figure out, of course, I'm a Drake fan being from Iowa. I can't figure out if this is a good matchup for Drake or not. I mean, Missouri at times look like they're a top 10 team, and at times have gotten beat by inferior opponents. Hopefully, if Drake gets off to a good start, their slow, methodical pace will frustrate the Tigers. That's the hope, I guess, for Drake.
Talking with Mike Palm, VP with the D, Circa Sports. And Mike, you know, the way everyone talks about brackets, that's always been such a big deal with this tournament. And it's still fun to fill out a bracket, but for the most part, it's a crapshoot. I mean, nobody really knows a lot about all 64 teams, but it's fun. But sports betting has evolved. It's so much more than just brackets these days. I mean, the sports book at Circa is massive. Stadium Swim, we can bet on it here in Illinois. We can just pull up apps. It really has totally changed the way people approach this tournament, where it's not just fill out your bracket and cross your fingers. You can play the tournament so many different ways.
Well, you can bet sides and totals on every game, but, I mean, a very popular bet is this first to 10. I mean, the biggest cheer of the day was when High Point got to 10 before Purdue, and they were like, you know, almost 3-1 to be the first to 10 in that game. Everybody was screaming. I think that was the biggest reaction, other than maybe the end of Clemson made a little bit of a comeback there. Yeah. The most drama of the day. So that's one way to play it. You know, we're living in a Netflix society. We want everything on demand, so we want to make a bet, and we don't want to wait more than 15 minutes to have it decided. You can play team to advance to the Final Four. That's an interesting way to try to play, not trying to get a team to win the whole thing, but get out of their bracket. We have different prop bets. What's the exact number of number one seeds that'll be in the Final Four? Is it 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4? And then we had, will a 12 seed win a game? Obviously that was a yes. Will a 13 win a game? Will a 14 win a game? Will a 15 win a game? Will a 16? The break even tipping, like, you know, pickup point was the 13 seed, where the juice was sort of even either way. The 12 was the big favorite. That's already cashed. And then you're getting plus prices on 14, 15, and obviously 16.
Mike, is there a popular Cinderella pick out there that you've seen kind of eye-opening?
You know, not really from a perspective of winning the tournament. The top teams have taken all the money. There's not like any team that's 30 or 40 or 50 to one or more that really hurts us. I mean, you know, we lose to Auburn and we lose to Duke, and Florida's and Houston are about to push, and the rest are decent for us. So there hasn't been any significant amount of money bet on a Cinderella to win at all.
That is Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations for the D, Golden Gate, and Circus Sports. Mike, I know it is a busy time for you guys out there in Vegas, so we appreciate you making some time for us back in Chicago.
Guys, Kevin and Charlie, thank you for the time, and enjoy your you're at a great venue there at the Hockey Mart, and enjoy the rest of your day.
We are. Thanks a bunch, Mike. That's Mike Palm from Circus Sports. Welcome back into our special sports show broadcast live from the Barn Hockey Bar. It's sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Charlie Remeliotis. Charlie will have the pregame at 7. Puck drop 7:30. Blackhawks and Kings at the United Center. Charlie, we have 13 games to go in the regular season. Blackhawks have lost 5 straight.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little Hawks here, Charlie.
You sure? No, I'm kidding.
I said before the broadcast, it really is amazing, and we are following along all the tournaments. Gonzaga just beat Georgia. Georgia, part of the SEC, record number of bids, 14. Georgia's out. Gonzaga with a 21-point victory. Gonzaga, 21-point victory over Georgia. So it'll be Gonzaga and Houston on Saturday in Wichita. McNeese State, the big upset of the day, 69-67 over Clemson. That's a 12-5. Purdue moving on over High Point, a 4-13. So Purdue will meet McNeese State in Providence this weekend. So we are following along the tournaments. We actually, I'll have some Bears talk too. We'll take a little break from the Blackhawks and from basketball and all that. Herb Howard coming up after 6. We'll check in with Steve Greenberg of the Chicago Sun-Times at 6:45. We're going to preview Illinois' game against Xavier. Xavier beat Texas as part of the first four. So Illinois is in Milwaukee. They meet Xavier tomorrow night. We'll preview that. Get some more tournament thoughts from Steve Greenberg as well. But Charlie, let's talk Hawks for a minute. It is amazing how Hawks fans, they continue to show up. Like, yeah. I'm going to be there tonight, and I know it's going to be mostly full at the UC. Rebuilds take time. We've talked about this at length. You've covered it plenty. But here we are at the Barn, and the place is packed. I know we have basketball going on, but a ton of Blackhawks jerseys as well. Give us the state of the Blackhawks right now. 13 games to go. Bedard in his second season. Some prospects making their way up to the bigs. But where are we at with the Blackhawks right now, Charlie?
Every time we are here at the Barn, so our shows are typically from 5 to 7. Yeah. You're here about 4 o'clock, and when I walk in about 20 minutes later, there are Blackhawks fans already here posted up. They definitely still do show up. Hawks had a little stretch a couple weeks ago where they went on a 5-game point streak where they were 3-0-2.
And that was fun, Charlie.
It was fun. That was probably the highlight of the season, those 5 games, because it was post-Seth Jones trade, post-trade deadline. Hawks later called up Artem Levchinov. So you thought things were starting to trend in the right direction. A lot to get excited about. Spencer Knight, his first 2 starts with the Blackhawks were otherworldly. And now, unfortunately, the Hawks have lost 5 straight in regulation, I think, and the Nashville game was in overtime. So it's been a tough stretch lately. With 13 games left, the one thing I will say, what you try to caution is, because things have spiraled over the last 5 games or so, you don't want guys to start looking ahead to the offseason and you think, okay, 13 games left, let's mail it in. Like, you want to be able to finish the season strong, go into the offseason with some sort of positive feeling, whether it's winning 7 of 13, and you're like, all right, we got on a good roll at the end. Maybe they can carry that into the summer. I know it sounds very cliche and very, not the mentality that you really want to have, like, at the bottom of the standings. But it has been tough sledding over the last few games here.
Okay, so Connor Bedard's drafted number 1. He is the main point of this rebuild. There was so much excitement when they landed that top pick. Still a ton of excitement around Bedard. But this year, maybe a little more rocky than we had hoped, I think is one way to put it, where maybe it hasn't been Bedard does all in his second season. This is taking time. Give us your thoughts on Bedard in his second year.
Yeah, so the first couple months of the season, he went through a 12-game goal drought that was very hard on him mentally, and I think it was the first time in his hockey career that he had been through something like that, where he faced that type of adversity. And so for him, he's so used to putting up 3-4 points a game, especially in the WHL and even for Team Canada and the World Juniors, how he had 23 points in 6 games. It was a set of record for a player under 17, but also just in Team Canada in general. And so I think for him, navigating the adversity that he's been through, last year the adversity was he missed 14 games with a broken jaw, right? So that was his first major injury to deal with. This year he's found himself in some droughts. How does he bust out of that? And unfortunately, like, we'll look at Connor Bedard and we say, okay, he's gone through some hot and cold spells. But I kind of look at the players around him that were brought in to help supplement some of the secondary scoring, or even the primary scoring for that matter. For example, Tyler Bertuzzi, he scored a goal in the last game, but prior to that, he was on a 20-game goal drought, and he was like one of their big free agent signings. And so those are the guys that I'm looking to that have to elevate their game moving forward to alleviate some of the pressure off of Connor Bedard.
It's Charlie Romeliotis. He'll have the Blackhawks pregame starting at 7. I'm Kevin Powell. We are broadcasting live from the Barn Hockey Bar, 1659. It's all sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. And plenty more to come. I'm going to check in with Herb Howard of the Bigs just after the 6 o'clock news. We'll check in on the Bears. Always a good time to talk Bears. It's been a busy offseason. We'll also talk with Steve Greenberg of the Sun-Times at 6:45 to preview Illinois' game against Xavier tomorrow night as the tournament continues. But it is a ton of fun here, Charlie. It is packed. People are watching basketball. They're getting ready to head over to the United Center for some Hawks hockey as well. How many wings deep are you so far?
I didn't have any wings, but I think I had 6 slices of pizza.
Those wings are so good. You're missing out
you
on
the wings. The wings.
I didn't hog the wings. I timed it perfectly. I said, well, you guys going to be here soon. You were walking over. Just as you walked in, the wings and the pizza had arrived.
We'll go with that story.
I was like 3 wings deep when Charlie and Jack walked in.
Your hands were messy. We were like, what's going on
over
here?
It's tournament time. The wings here are fantastic at the Barn Hockey Bar. The pizza is great, too. Real thin crust, real nice.
I will say, the pizza did... It was a veteran move by ordering the pizza ahead of time this time, because the last time we were doing the show, I think we were scarfing down the pizzas
During
the show.
Yeah, that can be tough.
Yes.
Hey, shout out to Spence Montgomery, one of the owners of the Barn Hockey Bar, who is also the head coach at St. Ignatius. He's the men's hockey coach there. They won the Kennedy Cup.
Yeah.
I think it's the third year in a row.
Yeah, that's incredible. Great for him. We did see him in Vegas.
Spence is the man.
Yeah, it was great to see him there.
He's the ultimate hockey guy.
He is.
When you talk hockey with Spence, he's always around the barn.
And he's got the hockey flow.
He's got the flow. He's got the verbal cadence down for hockey-isms. Like, he is the man.
Yeah.
And he is a part of the Barn Hockey Bar. Congratulations to the St. Ignatius hockey team for winning the Kennedy Cup.
All right, I thought maybe he didn't make it out of Vegas. That's why he's not here. But he's out of town. He's out of town again. We miss Spence. But.
Yes, we miss Spence. But the folks here at Barn Hockey Bar have been great. 1659 West Ogden. Come watch the games. If you're headed to the Hawks game and you're listening, stop in. It's a short walk from the barn to the United Center, which you are going to be sprinting over to the UC and posting up in the broadcast booth, right? We'll check in with you from down the line.
I'll be going there. I'm not sure if I'll be sprinting. I don't want to sweat.
Yeah, it's
in my
really
suit.
Not that close. You have a very nice suit on, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Nice tan jacket, a black tie, white shirt. You got to dress up for the radio, right?
Yeah. Joe Brand had a lot of big shoes to fill in that department. So
Judd did dress up big. All suits, even the radio people.
I will say, broadcasters. I've stolen some of Joe's suits before.
I was like,
where did you get that suit from? And he told me where, and I was like, I think a couple weeks later, I was like, hey, look at this. We showed up to a Blackhawks game wearing the same exact suit jacket.
That's amazing. That's Charlie Romeliotis of the Blackhawks pregame in an hour. Our special sports show continues for another hour up until 7. Welcome back into our special sports show broadcast live from the Barn Hockey Bar. It's all sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. I'm Kevin Powell. Charlie is making his way over to the United Center, which is a short walk away from the Barn Hockey Bar. If you haven't been here, it is awesome. Ton of TVs. Bunch of people here early to watch the game, so we're keeping it on March Madness and Blackhawks hockey coming up at 7. Charlie will have the pregame, and we'll check back in with Charlie in about 30 minutes. Steve Greenberg from the Chicago Sun-Times will join me at 6:45 to preview Illinois' matchup with Xavier there in Milwaukee tomorrow night. But it's always a good time to talk Bears. It's been a busy offseason, and I love talking Bears with Herb Howard from the Bigs joining us live now here on WGN. Herb, how are you, my friend?
Thank you. I'm good, man. You didn't invite me to the party. What's going on?
Well, you should make your way over. I mean, I'm going to be here until 7. We had wings, pizza, the beer's flowing. Come on over, Herb. Maybe I'll sneak you into the WGN suite.
It sounds like y'all having a great time over there, man.
It is a good time. Thanks for making time for us, Herb. It's been a busy offseason. And, you know, the dust has kind of settled from the big moves, the trades. Joe Tooney, the new left guard. Jonah Jackson, the new right guard. David Dolman, the free agent signing, takes over at center. So they have completely remade the interior part of the offensive line. And it generated a lot of excitement out of Bears fans, and rightfully so. And right when the moves were made, I loved them all. But I've tried to kind of take a step back and try to approach it at a different angle, because the past couple off seasons for Bears fans, everyone always talks about that they've won the off season, and it hasn't translated to a lot of wins yet. Herb, do I like the moves? Absolutely. They needed to address the offensive line. Caleb Sack more than any other quarterback in the NFL. These were moves that needed to be made, and I thought Ryan Poles did a good job of being creative. Those just trading for guys to fill your two guard positions, that opens up a lot in what they can do in free agency and obviously the draft, which is just over a month away. But I've tried to look at it differently. Joe Tooney's 32. Jonah Jackson, the Rams didn't want anything to do with him after last season. Where are you at? Are you riding high with the Bears this offseason? What are your thoughts on the offseason move so far?
Yeah, I think it's definitely always good practice to try to stay kind of level-headed with the moves that the Bears are making, because we know that moves that the Bears tend to make can always go wrong. But I think you just got to kind of look at it for what it is, and when I do that, I can say the Bears have made the right moves, right? Only time will tell if these things are going to work out. We don't know if Ben Johnson's a great head coach. We don't know if Joe Tooney can still play at a high level, if Grady Jarrett can still play at a high level, if Jonah Jackson, if Jonah Jackson can bounce back. Right? We don't know these types of things, right? But when I look at the moves in and of themselves, I can say with confidence that the Bears made the right decision. This is one of those things where a year or two from now, we're going to be able to look back on it and say, with hindsight, oh, they made the wrong decision. Now, it might not work out, but just because it doesn't work out doesn't mean it wasn't the right decision. I think at every step of the way, so far through this offseason, the Bears have made the right moves, and I think all you can do is kind of take that for what it is, appreciate the moves for what they are, and then kind of wait and see how they actually turn out.
Completely agree. Perfectly put, Herb. On the defensive side, I think we can all agree they need more on the defensive line. Odengbo, a nice addition, but again, just 3 sacks last year, Herb. So they gave him a big deal. And with free agency, oftentimes it's are you paying a guy for what they've done or paying a guy for what you think they can do? This is clearly the Bears believing this is some untapped potential in Odengbo, the defensive end for the Colts, who did have this 3 sacks last year, but the profile, big, long, looks like he could fit into Dennis Allen's defense. But what are your thoughts on the Odengbo signing?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. It's a projection to what he can be. I think, number one, they think that he can turn those hurries and pressures that he had a ton of in Indianapolis into actual sacks and be able to finish those. If he plays alongside other players like Montez Sweat, Grady Jarrett, Dexter, like if he can do that, then obviously the sacks will come. But I think what you said at the end there is critically important. He fits the mold of what Coach Dennis Allen wants in a defensive lineman, in a defensive end. He has the length, he has the size to move up and down that line. A lot of his production came from his interior ability to rush the passer, and so I think you'll see him kick inside a lot on third down. We saw that previously. DeMarcus Walker would do that. But I think that Odengbo's more physically built for that. And so if you can scan him up, get him one-on-one on a guard, on a center, he should be able to take advantage of that. We heard Ryan Poles talk about having the ability to kind of thin the pocket from the interior of the O-line, shortening that corner for the DNs, and I think all of these kind of works together. At the end of the day, you're going to have waves of defensive linemen. So this idea that you just need four or five, you need seven, eight, nine of them. And the Bears are just trying to bring in good players. For instance, so you're going to overpay. That's just the nature of it. So you look at his production to this point, and you say, well, is he worth the money? Maybe you say no, right? But his projection, you talk about his age, is he about to enter his prime, and does he fit ideally into the system? And I think Ryan Poles and the staff convinced themselves that he can, and now we got to see if they can coach him up and actually get him to produce at that level.
We are broadcasting live from the Barn Hockey Bar, 1659 West Ogden. That's Herb Howard from the Bigs. Herb, normally I have you on my football podcast. We can talk forever. I've got to stop for traffic real quick. Are you good to hang on for a minute? We'll talk a little more Bears, maybe look ahead to the draft.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, thank you, Herb. We are broadcasting live from the Barn Hockey Bar. It's sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Brackets, buckets, and bets. Tournament is underway. We're following along March Madness. Blackhawks hockey coming up at 7 with Charlie Romeliotis' pregame. Hawks taking on the Kings at the UC tonight. A face-off, 7:30. John Weideman and Troy Murray on the call here on WGN tonight. We took a break from brackets, buckets, and bets to talk Bears, continuing my conversation with Herb Howard from the Bigs, joining us on WGN. So we talked about some of the free agent moves, Herb. The draft a little over a month away. Can I just say, and I think he's going to be a great player, and I think Ben Johnson can get creative in how he wants to use him. I just don't think the Bears are in a spot to be drafting a running back at 10. Your thoughts, Herb Howard?
They are much closer to being in that position than they were, say, a week or two ago, right? I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and they asked me the same thing during an interview, and I said, if you had asked me that last week, I would have hung up on you, because it didn't make any sense last week. Now, I'm at least open to the possibility. I still wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't be angry at it like I would have been a couple of weeks ago before they addressed some of the other more pertinent needs on their roster. And so now I think what they've done is they've afforded themselves a lot of flexibility in the draft. And so if Jensen's there for you and you think he's the best player on your board and you think he's this dynamic running back that can drastically improve your offense, I wouldn't hate it. I would have hated it, KP. I would have hated it a week or two ago. Now I don't hate the idea so much of an Ashton Jensen or Tyler Warren. Like those things are now at least on the table for me, whereas before I dismissed them immediately.
Yeah, it's grown on me a little bit. Ashton Jensen, the star running back out of Boise State. There's been some chatter lately that the Bears have some interest in the running back. And look, we know how running backs are viewed these days, but you look at Saquon Barkley, how much he meant to the Eagles. I'm not saying Jensen's the next Barkley, but the Bears have a new head coach who was the star offensive coordinator for the Lions, and I think considering how high everyone was on hiring Johnson, there has to be the belief that he would be able to find a way to get Jenty involved. I actually think there's some untapped potential with Swift, their current running back. I think there's more they can get out of him. I just think that right now Braxton Jones, no one's talking about this, Braxton Jones coming off a serious injury. He's your left tackle. Has Braxton Jones been a solid left tackle? Sure. Fifth-round pick. Nice find by Ryan Poles. Wouldn't you feel a lot comfortable if you had, for example, Will Campbell, one of the top left tackles in the draft, at minimum competing for that starting left tackle position? Wouldn't you feel better if one of the top defensive linemen joined the Bears and added some depth to the defensive line? I just think they're not there yet depth-wise. Am I going to hate it like you said you wouldn't? I don't think I would hate it. I just think the trenches are where they need to get better at, and I think that needs to be their number one focus with their number one pick.
So maybe you can spin it another way, though, and shout out to Adam Johnson. I heard him talking about it this way. I don't know if the Bears are in a position to be able to pass on such talents. You know what I mean? I don't know that they're, like, at this place where, oh, no, we can pass because we got to do this. Like, I don't know. So if you're talking about Will Campbell, sure. But if he's gone, you start to talk about, well, now you're getting to, you know, second, third best left tackle. You're getting into, you know, the second or third best edge rusher. Should I pass on this elite talent at running back or this elite talent at tight end, because I love the tight end from Penn State too? Like, should I pass on those elite talents to get the second or third best at their position because it addresses more directly a need that I have right now? Like, it's just worth looking at. And again, I wouldn't do it mostly because this is a very deep year for running backs in the draft. I think they can get a good one if they really feel like they need one. And I'm with you on not being so down on DeAndre Swift as a lot of people are. I think he gets a lot of slack for the season last year. And everybody kind of gives the quarterback the pass and say, well, he's playing behind that offensive line. Well, DeAndre Swift was running behind the same offensive line. And so you can't give one a pass and then say the other one was just terrible. So I'm not as down on DeAndre Swift either. But if you're going to add to that role, then I think you have an opportunity to do that a little bit later in the draft. Second round, you might get a guy like Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. Third round, there'll be some guys even later in the draft than that. So that's another reason why I wouldn't necessarily go Jinxy at 10. I'm just saying I'm willing to hear it more now, where I would immediately, like, stop talking to me about that. Yeah. They can't do it. They need a center. They need a left guard. They need a right guard. They need a D-tackle. They need a D-in. Now they've brought some of those guys in. They still need to But now they brought some of those guys in, it's at least more plausible.
Yeah, and with Ben Johnson, you do have a little more faith, right? Like, oh, we're not just adding this star running back and he's going to make our offense better. I think the belief or the thought would be, we have Ben Johnson, one of the great play callers. He would know exactly how to squeeze every inch of talent from Jinxy, and how can he help the offense? Maybe that's another way to look at it, too. If we are trying to grow on the idea of drafting a running back at 10, and keep in mind the Bears do have 3 picks in the top 41. They have 39th in the 41st, 4 picks in the top 72. So they can get creative there. I'm with you. It has grown on me a bit, too. And we will. I need to have you on the WGN Radio Football Podcast, Herb, because you and I were texting a bit during the Super Bowl. I know you were still team keep Justin Fields, trade the top pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So and
for
all right,
sure.
I have for sure. If Herb thinks the Bears should have kept Justin and traded the top pick, I just don't think there was enough
100%.
There. Yeah. So all right, we're gonna talk about that at length, because I see where you're going with it.
I don't think that Jalen Hurts has a skill set that Justin Fields doesn't.
Yeah.
What he has is a built roster and structure around him that allowed them to build a Super Bowl team. Now, if you're asking me, is Jalen Hurts a top 5 quarterback? No. And if you're asking me Jalen Hurts or somebody like Patrick Mahomes, which is the projection for Caleb Williams, then sure, I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes, because he can get you to, you know, 7 straight championship games. But if you're not going to tell me, well, this guy's better than the guy, but the team still isn't built, it doesn't really matter, because who Super Bowls has Josh Allen gone to? What about Joe Burrow? What about, you know, Justin Herbert? Like, probably better than Jalen Hurts and Justin. Doesn't matter.
I hear you. We got to talk more at length, Herb, in podcast form. Herb Howard is the man. He covers
y'all
the Bears.
Y'all keep bringing this up to me. I was done with it. Y'all keep bringing it up to me.
That's on me. I'm already late for news. I was just teasing it a little bit. But great, Herb, great stuff as always, my friend. I will talk to you soon, all right?
All right, appreciate it.
All right, that's Herb Howard from the Bigs. We are broadcasting live from the Barn Hockey Bar, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Final stretch live from the Barn Hockey Bar. I'm Kevin Powell, broadcasting live ahead of Blackhawks hockey. Charlie Romeliotto, so I have the pregame in 20 minutes. Our special sports show brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. And we are at the Barn Hockey Bar, 1659 West Ogden, right around the corner from the United Center. Awesome spot if you haven't been, if you're going to a game or any event at the United Center. Ton of TVs, the food is great. Ice cold beer. Everything you need in a great bar. Charlie started the show here and then made his way over to the United Center because his pregame's coming up in 20 minutes. Charlie, how are you?
Kevin, I forgot my to-go box with the wings and pizza, so if you can run that over when you're done, that would be fantastic.
What's the press meal tonight, the media meal up in the press booth, press box?
We have Italian sausage, chicken, and the dessert today, apple cobbler. I put a few extra scoops on my to-go plate.
That sounds outstanding. Is Troy it's with phenomenal. You there, or is Troy prepping for the show?
He is. He was actually listening to us earlier, and when I walked into the radio booth, he said, take your jacket off. I want to see what suit jacket they were complimenting you guys on the show. So he's a loyal listener.
Well, Troy always looks great. So do you, Charlie. Okay, Blackhawks hockey coming up in just under 20 minutes. Hawks taking on the Kings. We're keeping an eye on March Madness as the tournament rolls on. Kansas-Arkansas, an interesting matchup. I think a lot of us were watching closely. Kansas leading 26-25, 7 minutes and 30 to go in the first half. So a handful of games still going on. What do we need to know about Blackhawks hockey tonight? The 5-game losing streak. What do we need to know about the opponent, Charlie?
Yeah, well, LA is a very good hockey team, but they're a very weird hockey team in the sense that their home record this season is 23-3-4, and on the road they're 13-18-5. So they're a sub 500 team on the road, and they're seemingly unbeatable at home. So the Hawks, I think the last time LA was here, the Hawks won 5-1, and that was the first game that Spencer Knight participated in with the Blackhawks, and he was outstanding in that game. No surprise, he's going to get the start in net for Chicago tonight. Hopefully the Hawks can replicate that game, or at least in goal, the Spencer Knight show. But yeah, Hawks are looking to snap a 5-game winless skid. They're 0-4-1 in their last 5 games. Bad taste in their mouth from the last game where they were up 2-0 and then give up 6 unanswered goals. So hopefully Chicago can right the wrong tonight against LA.
What has the mood been like in the locker room? This has been a trying season, Charlie, where I thought I think most of us, including the Blackhawks, thought we would see some improvements from last season, but it's been a roller coaster this year.
It has, and the morale, honestly, was starting to improve. Like, the Hawks had a 5-game point streak from March 1st to March 8th, so in about 8-day span, the Hawks were 3-0-2. Post-trade deadline, they traded Seth Jones. There were a lot of distractions about whether he was going to be moved or not. And then they acquire Spencer Knight, and that kind of gave this team a jolt, especially when you saw his first 2 starts with the Blackhawks against LA and Utah. But since then, the Hawks have lost 5 in a row, and so it's kind of like back to square one where the Hawks are trying to get the morale back up. You know, Alex Vlasic was saying after the game on Tuesday night, the last loss against Seattle, saying the morale is as low as it's ever been because they thought they were taking strides in that department. So 13 games left after this game tonight. Hopefully the Hawks can finish somewhat strong so they don't have to go into the offseason with a completely terrible feeling about themselves. But hopefully the Hawks can see some strides in some of the younger players over the next few weeks here.
You know, this is our second remote of the week, Charlie. We were at the at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier, the toast to Harry Carey, earlier in the week. And Chris Chelios was there, because Chelios had everything. Jeremy Roenick was there. And Chelios, I can't remember how he started telling the story. He was reminiscing about, because Richard Dent was also there. Chelios was reminiscing about a time when they were all out together. It was Chelios, Richard Dent, and Michael Jordan. And Chelios said he was messing around with Jordan, and even at one point kind of got in a hockey fight and pulled Jordan's shirt like up around his back, almost like a hockey fight. And Richard Dent stepped in and put Chelios above his head. And he said, you don't mess with Mike. So I wonder if Troy has any stories with Michael Jordan or Richard Dent or Chelios and that whole crew. But Chelios did say, and I can't remember how it came up, he said that Troy was one of the first on the team to have a cell phone. And it was one of those big, old-school mobile phones, and Chelios said they would joke around about it. I wonder if Troy would remember that.
All right, I'm really glad you're saying this, giving me some potential post-game content in case yes. This game goes sideways again, because I had about 30 minutes to fill in the last post-game show, and it was like, how do I talk about this for a 6 unanswered goal loss for Chicago? So I'll be sure to tee him up.
It's a Chelios, Richard Dent, Michael Jordan story, but Troy's name was brought up, so maybe Troy has some memories of partying with MJ back then. But I thought it was interesting, Charlie, because you don't hear a ton about intermingling between our sports teams in town these days, unless they just hide it more. But I can't think of any stories I know of current Blackhawks and Bulls and Bears players hanging out together. But yeah, like you said, that could make for some good post-game content with Troy.
Yeah, we don't see that enough these days. I know that the Blackhawks had went to a Bears game early in the year, and you saw Bedard, he was kind of saying hi to Justin Jefferson, and they got kind of like a viral picture. Well, yeah. There was a couple years ago that Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson and Bears general manager Ryan Poles had gotten on a call together and were just kind of like playing back and forth, just asking each other how to navigate being a young general manager in a sports city like this. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, we don't really see the crossover between the athletes anymore these days.
Charlie Romeliotis will have our pregame coming up at 7, puck drop 7:30. John Weideman and the great Troy Murray will have the call tonight on WGN. Kevin Powell with you up until 7. Charlie will take over with our Blackhawks pregame. We are live from the Barn Hockey Bar. It's sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, 1659 West Ogden, right around the corner from the United Center. Great spot to watch a game. Obviously, the tournament, all the games beginning today with the first round of March Madness underway. And joining me now is Steve Greenberg from the Chicago Sun-Times. Steve, I appreciate you jumping on. No connection with Steve Greenberg. We'll check in with Steve. Steve covers really the whole sports scene in Chicago, but really locks in on college basketball. So we'll get a preview. Illinois taking on Xavier tomorrow night in Milwaukee in their opening round game. Not sure what to make of the Illinois basketball team, where they've looked athletic, they've looked talented, they've cracked the top 25, and then they lay a complete dud in the Big Ten tournament. So Brad Underwood credit programs in a pretty good spot. 5 straight tournament bids under Brad Underwood, Illini head coach. So if we get a chance to talk with Steve, we will preview that matchup. But we are live from the Barn Hockey Bar getting set for Blackhawks hockey. They'll take on the Kings tonight. It starts with Charlie's pregame. Puck drop is at 7:30 with John Weideman and Troy Murray. But the opening round of March Madness is underway. A great time of the year. Let's recap some of the games today so far. Gonzaga 89-68 over Georgia. A blowout. The SEC with a record 14 bids this year, but not a great effort by Georgia in that game. Gonzaga ran away with it really from the beginning. Creighton over Louisville earlier. BYU beat VCU. The big upset so far, McNeese against Clemson, 69-67. That's a 12-5. I think we were able to connect with Steve Greenberg of the Chicago Sun-Times. Steve, hope you're doing well. I know you're battling through, so I appreciate you making some time for us.
No problem, Kevin. You hear me okay? I'm on one of these new fangled things called a cell phone.
That's all right. I think I got you, Steve. We've got, are you up in Milwaukee ahead of the Illinois-Xavier game?
Yes, sir. Milwaukee.
What do you make of this Illinois team? What do we need to know? I was just saying, I don't know what to make of this Illinois team, where they've looked athletic to me at times. They've looked talented. They cracked the top 25, and then they had an ugly exit in the Big Ten. But what are you expecting to see out of Illinois tomorrow night in Milwaukee?
Also of recent vintage, they lost by 43 to Duke in New York. That's the worst loss in Illinois history. So it's a young team that acts like it too often, and it's a very talented team. It's a very athletic team. Kasparis Jakučeljas is a lottery pick. Will Riley, borderline lottery pick. He's our freshman, another first-year guy. Tomi Ivasic, 7'1". He's 21 years old, but, you know, I mean, he's an NBA player eventually. They're very talented. And when they look good, Kevin, you know, they can look spectacular. We saw them lose at the buzzer to Tennessee this year, you know, in a game when I think the Illini were in full effect with what they can be. We saw them win by 20 at Michigan, win by 32, I think, at Oregon. So the ability to put together a run would seemingly be there, but too often, the Illini haven't matched the intensity, physicality, whatever, the sort of need to win that is, you know, what do we love about college basketball is that you get these guys out there diving on the floor and taking charges and seemingly playing harder than they do at other levels of basketball. You don't get that routinely from Illinois. Well, it's the tournament. If they don't play like that, they're going to lose to Xavier. There's no reason to think that they're going to roll the ball out there and overwhelm Xavier on talent alone.
Now, Xavier, a tough team. We're talking with Steve Greenberg of the Chicago Sun-Times as we approach Blackhawks hockey. Just a couple minutes to go. It is just such a great time on the sports calendar, Steve. I mean, it's I showed up to the bar earlier today, and people are posted up. Everybody's consuming it. We always joke about people taking off of work, but there's really nothing like March Madness. It is so much fun.
I think it still is. You know, I mean, you could look cynically at college sports, college basketball, certainly, and what it's become, the transactional nature of it. Players come and go. Players play 3-4 different places. You don't get those teams with great continuity that sort of create the arc of a beautiful story over the course of a few years. That's missing. But this tournament, yes, which, by the way, they're going to expand unnecessarily. I mean, it's basically perfect. Mm-hmm. The tournament never misses. So, you know, if you've got a team in it, all the better. If Illinois makes a run, great. If not, it's still a ball.
No, I'm with you, Steve, and we're running out of time. I appreciate you making a few minutes for us. I know you're busy up in Milwaukee, but thanks so much for making some time, Steve. Hopefully we can check in again at some point during this tournament.
Sure. Everybody have fun with this. See ya.
Yeah, thank you. That's Steve Greenberg from the Chicago Sun-Times. Follow him on X at SL Greenberg, and obviously read his stuff at ChicagoSunTimes.com. This has been a ton of fun. Brackets, buckets, and bets. Also some Bears talk. We are live at the Barn Hockey Bar, 1659 West Ogden, right around the corner from the United Center. That's where Charlie Remeliotis is. He'll have our Blackhawks pregame in just a couple of minutes. Hawks trying to snap a five-game skid. They host the LA Kings tonight. Thank you to Jack Heinrich and Adam Phillips, live here on site, helping us put the show together. Brett Jackson back at the radio station. Am I forgetting anybody, Jack Heinrich? Marlene Wells, of course, the legend here, organizing things. Steve Tarpley, our sales manager. Steve Godsell, our friends at Circus Sports Illinois, also hanging out with us. Your handwriting is worse than mine, Jack. Thank you. Tony DeNardis, thank you to Tony for helping out as well. I'm Kevin Powell. Charlie Remeliotis has your Blackhawks pregame. Thank you to everyone here at the Barn Hockey Bar, for everyone that showed up, to our friends at Circus Sports Illinois. It is time for Chicago Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN.